Grace, mercy, and peace you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Trusting in our Father's promises, we are bold to pray, Hallowed be thy name. Now we all have heard of people who have left paltry and lowly beginnings to find greatness, to find stardom, to find riches, to find a name. Whether it's the kid from the street who becomes a world-class athlete making millions, the poor man who becomes a successful entrepreneur, the girl from a broken home who gets her star name etched on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. For often just the mention of their names will turn our heads, keep us reading a tabloid in the grocery store or paying a pretty penny to see their face or to hear their voice. They have, in the eyes of the world, earned success, a status that only few have and millions dream of. And yet, what will it profit a man if he has the whole world hallow his name, yet he forfeits the hallowed name of his God? Mind you, the hallowing of one's own name is not a modern endeavor. It has been the goal of man ever since he was thrust out of the eternal city of God, to build a city, a life with his own name, where his own name would be hallowed. When we pray, Hallowed be thy name, we are praying against ourselves, our unbelief, and our propensity to name drop and to hallow our own name. The first petition of the Lord's Prayer immediately shows you the everyday struggle you have with your sinful flesh, to hallow God's name above all other names, especially your own name. As Luther would say, in all of Scripture, I know of no other passage that denounces and dooms our life more than this petition, Hallowed be thy name. Now the devil tempts Jesus three times to establish his own forms of devotion. The temptations, as we see, were all about laying an axe to the word of God and the name of God. Even more sinister was the doubting that the name of God was the very revelation of his love to his nameless people. And we see that the devil first says, in effect, to Jesus, you're out here hungry. Perhaps God has forgotten your name. Perhaps God has forgotten that you are his son. And why should you remember his name when he doesn't remember yours? For once in your life, do something for yourself. Make some bread out of stone. The second temptation was, in effect, to make a name for yourself. That would have happened if Jesus had jumped off the top of the temple and found himself rescued by swooping angels coming down to catch him before he hit his foot upon a stone. And finally, the devil says to Jesus, let me make a name for you. Just fall down and worship me. Notice that as the three temptations progressed, the devil made it less and less about Jesus' almighty power. At the same time, he dangled more and more of an earthly reward before Jesus. He sort of started with lunch, and then he finally ended with the kingly feast of the kingdoms of this world. You see, this is how the devil works in your life. He is forever calling into question your identity as children of the Heavenly Father. He is always suggesting to you that the Father really doesn't care about his sons. For if he did, he would not let you suffer the things that you do. His enticements will often steadily increase in their intensity and power and attractiveness. Sometimes he will offer things to you that seem good at the time, that taste good, that feel good, that are pleasing to your eyes. What the masses are doing. Yet in the truth, his path always leads to death and destruction, eternal death, that is. And we know that temptation is everywhere. And when we are weak and we are alone and we are separated from the communion of saints, we are easy prey. We are low-hanging fruit. But the devil puts before Jesus and the temptation before Jesus to trivialize God's name and His work in the life of His people, even in His very own Son. And so the devil puts before Jesus religion as self-improvement, of going it alone, of forgetting the name of God and the power of that name. And the more we travel down that road, whose guides are the false teachers of religion as self-improvement, the more God's name ends up in the dirt, misused and forgotten by His people. This is one of the pernicious underlying temptations of the devil, to get his children to rely on themselves and not on the good and holy name of God. To not call upon that name in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks for this most merciful and gracious name. The devil wanted Jesus to deny with all his actions what the Father had just spoken about him concerning when he was baptized. That this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The devil will often do this to us also. He will often make us an offer that we too might gain the whole world by our own name. Yet it will most assuredly come at the price of our souls and our eternal destiny. Because as you know, Jesus didn't teach us to pray, "Make me holy, Heavenly Father," or "Make my name holy, Heavenly Father." Rather, He taught us to pray, "Hallowed be Thy name," or "Your name." And so instead of speaking about a false holiness within ourselves or a holiness that can be achieved, the first petition of the Lord's Prayer draws you into the holiness of God, the holiness of His name. In truth, it is not we who hallow God's name, but rather that God's name hallows us. For God is and forever remains holy. For from eternity He is holy, and holy is His name. He stands apart, and so does His name. For this petition asks not for a change in God, but a change on earth as it is already in heaven. That is, that the change comes about and is sustained as our Heavenly Father baptizes us into His holy name. For God's name is given to us in our baptism. As you remember, you were all baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. For thus we should always pray that the name of God may abide in us, that it be active in us, and be hallowed on earth as it already is in heaven. So we pray that God's name would be holy, not as if it's not holy already, but that it be holy even as it is in heaven, so shall it be on earth. For as the Father's children, we are given the Son's mind. And we are given the Son's mind not by our own flesh and blood, but by the Word of the Son. He creates in us new hearts and minds by giving us His mind, the mind of the Son, the mind of Christ. Remember that familiar passage in the temptation of Jesus? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. As it was in the beginning, and so shall it be now and forever, that God's word is the source of your life, the source of your faith, and the source of your communion with God. For Jesus lived by the word of His Father, and not by the devil's enticements to self-improvement. In your baptism into Christ, God has declared to you that He is your Father and you are His Son. Because of Jesus, your brother, you are the Heavenly Father's beloved Son. So our holiness, our riches start not with ourselves, nor even be end with ourselves, or have anything to do with ourselves. It all comes entirely outside of us by a revelation of Jesus as God's Son, our Savior. For the Word never ceases to become relevant. For we live by this Word. We have faith by this Word. We have eternal life by this Word. And so we are to live as children of the Heavenly Father, drenched in the forgiveness of the Father's Son. And when the devil attacks and he draws near to you, you are to draw near to God in His Son, Jesus Christ. You are to flee to Christ and let Christ rescue you. It's not surprising that one of Luther's three main reasons for Christians to go to the Lord's Supper is the insidious and forever tempting acts of the devil. He says, to those who have no hunger and thirst for the sacrament, he advises the following. He will certainly have the devil also around him, who with his lying and murdering day and night will let him have no peace, within or without. As the scriptures picture him in John 8 and 16, 1 Peter 5, Ephesians 6, and 2 Timothy chapter 2. We all know, and we've all have experienced in some degree or another, that we have a very horrible and destructive enemy called Satan. And that there is no worse enemy than this enemy, the devil himself. He is at enmity with the church. He is at enmity with you, the saints of the church. And he will be so until the very end. We ourselves live in manifold states of sin, and we are in no position to war against him, even though we think we might be. We ourselves also are corrupted so much that we are naturally inclined to go along with the devil when he wants to make a name for us, and to go against God when he wants to give us his name. For he has, but nonetheless, in the midst of all of this sin and all of this struggle and all of this death and shame and regret, etc., we know that we have a valiant victor in our Lord Jesus Christ. He has done what we are unable to do, for he has crushed the tempter's head by suffering the full bite of his sting of death. And so our Heavenly Father desires that we pray to him as a child comes to his earthly father in time of need. He does not want excuses, he just wants confession that we have sinned and done what is evil in his sight. He does not want us to convince him who he is or what he should do or how great he is. He already knows those things. He wants no the complete and utter naked acknowledgement of our sin and our shame and our death, so that, or in order that, he may do what he always wants to do. That is, clothe us with his righteousness, clothe us with his flesh, clothe us with his life. For when we live and we pray in this way, when we come to him, when we have fallen down, fallen short of his name and his glory, he hallows us by his own name, this name of unmerited favor and grace. Then he is who he is, that is, a loving father, forgiving the sins of his people. And so it is that we are hallowed by this name, and we live in this name as blood-bought children, coming to him in every trouble, knowing that he will deliver us out of all of the afflictions of Satan by his very simple and powerful name. We live each day. We live every day in the forgiveness of sins, which we receive by this name that has hallowed us and has called us to walk in the holy name of our Lord and our God. And so we pray and we sing and we confess together as the communion of saints. That your name be hallowed. Help us, O Lord, in purity to keep your word, that to the glory of your name we may walk before you free from blame. In Jesus' precious name, amen.